45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Alrighty, joining me now is our, as usual, TC24 and our junior boy turned senior boy, Danny Webb. But you two do not matter today because we've got a special guest joining us. He's a man who's had 16 years of a rugby league and union career, which spanned at least three continents, 12 years as a high-performance athlete on and off the field, and then he's been newly appointed the CEO of Gridiron Australia, Mr. Wade Kelly. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks. So it's good to be here. Good to talk a bit of NFL, Gridiron Australia.
You are an extremely busy man, so we're actually lucky to even have you on today. So we appreciate your time.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, there's a lot going on, all different facets of the game, and all exciting stuff, and then you combine that with all the NFL stuff that's going on at the moment. So, there's a lot to get through, but, yeah, happy to be here.
And like you said, it's an extremely busy part of the year for the NFL with the playoffs well and truly underway. The normal question, as you can appreciate, most of my guests are from the States. So my normal first question is, you know, have you been to Australia and things like that? You obviously have, but we'll turn it into, do you have a favourite part of Australia?
Yeah, I've got there's lots of places I love in Australia. I'm an East Coast boy, so I grew up in a place called Clow Valley. So the Eastern Beaches are pretty special to me, Bondi and where I live now, and Bronte and Clow Valley and Maroubra and Coogee to a certain extent. I spent a fair bit of time up at the Northern Rivers, so Cabarita Beach, Byron and Lennox in particular, a lot of time up there. So anywhere on the East Coast of Australia is pretty good. I'm heading over to Perth for a big event in a couple of weeks for their West Bowl, and they've got a big event in Yagan Square, so I'm looking forward to get over there. A lot of different places.
Yeah, beautiful. You've pretty much covered the whole of Australia, which is nice. Yeah. Keep everyone happy. That's good. Well played. Smart. We'll talk a little bit about yourself before we get into the Gridiron Australia. You, as I said, you had a pretty impressive sporting career across the league and union. It took you to, you started in Australia, then you end up over in Europe, finished off over in the States. Again, was there anywhere in particular that you really enjoyed playing or that was, you would say, the best place to play?
No, I mean, there was no bad places, right? So the beautiful thing about sport is it can carry you right across the world and you instantly land with a huge group of friends. And a huge community there that supports you. So I had a fantastic time here in Australia. Obviously, I grew up playing rugby league here in Australia and then joined the Broncos and then the Bears before we got booted out of the NRL. And then I switched over to rugby union, a bit of time here with Randwick, which was fantastic again. And then over to Wigan, spent 8 years in the UK, which is really different. I thought I was going to go for 6 months and end up loving it and stay there for 8 years. And then ended up on an island off Italy called Sardinia for a year, playing one of the top clubs over there. And then, I finished off in New York, and that's basically where I started to really take on the game of NFL and have a look at it a lot closer.
Yeah. Well, you've already answered my next question. I was going to say, were you a fan of the NFL during your career, or was there ever a contemplation for a crossover and give an NFL a crack?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a bit of a unique history with Gridiron Australia in the fact that when I was about four or five playing for Cleverley Crocodiles Rugby League, I played with a kid called Peter Toss. And Pete's dad was Peter Toss Sr., who's one of the founding members of Gridiron in Australia, and particularly the Bondi Waverley Raiders. So even at sort of age four and five, he was always trying to convince me to go and play some Gridiron with his son up at Waverley Oval in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. And then when I was playing in Europe, I had three shoulder reconstructions, but I used to come back in the off-season for a month. We get a month off in between the seasons, and I sort of was allowed to come back to Australia if I had someone that would look after me physio-wise when I was playing pro over there in Europe. And luckily for me, my cousin, one of my cousins, Adam Pascoe, was a really good physio, and Adam was a wide receiver for the Australian Outback team and also the physio for the Australian Outback team. So I really had a good close connection with Gridiron Australia here through Pete Toss and then also through Adam. And then obviously when I moved to New York, the boys had season tickets for us over there with the Jets, which you might say is unfortunate, particularly the last 10 years. But yeah, I've seen a lot of tailgate parties and I've seen a lot of action with the Jets. So sometimes those tailgate parties towards the end of the season, we didn't actually make it into the games. But yeah, so I do have a long history of the game. I remember my dad playing the 90, I think it was 88 or 89 Super Bowl 49ers versus the Bengals, where Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and those sort of guys were playing in that game. So yeah, 49ers were my team up until the time I moved to New York. Yeah.
So you stuck with New York or are you a 49ers fan?
Thick and thin. I'm Jets all the way. And everyone's saying, you know, this season's been, you know, apart from the last seven games, it's been the top seven games. It's a huge turnaround for where we were at for the last 10 years. You know, I got full confidence in Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh. And the guys we got there, maybe we get an experienced quarterback and things start to change for us. Yeah, but yeah, always thick and thin.
Going off cuff a little bit here, I did hear rumours that Tom Brady's going to come to the Jets. Would you take him?
Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, someone.
They're all coming.
Take Aaron.
Yeah, as you can tell, I'm a big Packers fan. So you guys had us covered this year. So we don't even need to go across that.
Yeah,
good little chuckle. I like it. for those that don't know and aren't quite across gridiron in Australia, can you just give us a little bit of a rundown? Like, I know it's state league based, so which states have leagues and, you know, what time of year are they playing and things like that?
Yeah, so I think it sort of speaks to the interest in the game here in Australia. So every state's got its own league except for currently Northern Territory. And historically, Northern Territory has had its own league. And there are various states of development. Like I said, historically, the game's been here for 40 years, right? So historically, they've had clubs that have risen up in different states, and then as interest has waned for those players that started those clubs, have retired, they've fallen over for whatever reasons, and then another club spouts up. So, for instance, you know, young blokes like yourselves, if you want to start a club, it generally starts with a senior team or a senior men's team in particular, history shows us. But then when that group of players sort of has enough or finishes or retires, it's very hard for that club to maintain its status. So a big remit is for us is to really invest in the juniors. So every state, like I said, has got leagues, and our focus at the moment is really making sure that we've got strong pathways. How and why, like why are we building those pathways? You know, we want to give kids an opportunity to join the sport at a younger age than they ever have before. Victoria's done that really well. Down with their under 13s and under 16s and under 19s this year. They're really strong competitions down there. And the different states are at different levels of doing that. So, yeah, Gridiron Australia is really helping develop that side of things. And then you've got the women's side of the game as well, which suffered a bit through COVID, like trying to come back after COVID. But, you know, we've got some really talented players in our girls' division, and that's seen with some of those girls are getting picked to go and play in the American League. This year, they played a bit of an experiment last year when they went over in the first year of it, but now they're getting actually, you know, they're highly sought after to take our players over there. So, yeah, it's for 40 years, it's been pretty similar, you know, ups and downs and flows, but, you know, with the recent interest in the game, the office opening up on the NFL on the Gold Coast, we saw that, you know, there's so much interest in the sport, and the NFL is really interested in not only Australia, but the Pacific region, which we're really excited about as well.
Do all states play the same time of year?
Yeah, so we do. For us, it makes sense to not go against the other major contact codes because in terms of getting access to facilities at the moment and then also access to players. You know, Australia's not a huge country with a huge – but it has got sporting fanatics, and they all generally play whatever code that they've grown up with. So whether that's AFL or rugby league or rugby union, the gridiron has positioned itself as a summer sport, so they generally start the contact season or tackle season starts late in the year around October and then goes through some states finish at Christmas, and then Western Australia, for instance, finishes on Super Bowl weekend. And part of my job is to make sure that those states are aligned so that we're all finishing at the same amount of time, and then we're all heading to our national championships, which is for contact, a huge event every year. Traditionally, it has been. Obviously, COVID knocked that about a bit, but we're back on deck, and yeah, we've got our nationals coming up at the last week of April this year.
Beautiful. That's exciting. We might have to be all across that and maybe get out there if there's some games down in Melbourne.
Yeah, look, it's definitely going to be on the East Coast this year. I can't sort of, until we tell the states, which we've got a state board meeting tonight, I'll let them know where the location exactly is going to be. It's really late, the planning. I only started in November. So as soon as we get this squared away, I'll be looking to a venue for the next 3 years to lock in our juniors and national championships so that everyone knows exactly what we're doing. And building those pathways and calendars out. Particularly, you know, if things go well with flag with the Olympic side of things, we really need to have our calendar planned out to 2028.
You don't want to release it here, sorry, where you're playing?
No, okay. So the states are the first to know that, so they'll find out tonight exactly where we're playing. I will say it's on the east coast of Australia.
Nice.
We should have spoken tomorrow. How do you find, Wade, the crossover of the state leagues running at the same time as the NFL? Do you see it as a bit of a challenge or more of an opportunity, like to sort of grow and pump up the game while there's the interest of the NFL running at the same time?
Yeah, definitely. That's the key, right? So we're most of the interest from our fans for our senior league is the NFL. You know, we're looking to for our players to go to US colleges if they get an opportunity to go over there in the NFL. So most of the interest around the game is that time of year. So we're looking to mirror exactly the college seasons and the NFL season, particularly the NFL season. With our time difference, you know what it's like. You know, I'm the same as you guys. I get up early on Monday mornings to watch the games and then try and take a day off work on Monday to, if there's some really good games on. And then Friday morning as well. You know, what's that? So it's a challenge for people to watch a game, and I'll get to that in a second. But so for us to actually provide live football in the community over the weekends during the NFL season is fantastic. It's a fantastic opportunity, you know. Mm. And we want to really capitalize on that. If you like your NFL and you want to see it actually live in Australia at good times, then it's perfect for us, and it's the ideal scenario to have us combined with the NFL season. Yeah.
No, I was saying, as you were saying with the pathways to go play in the States and people getting signed by colleges and stuff like that, are those pathways becoming easier now with more spotlight, I guess, on Australia's gridiron?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, I mean, it's even starting at high school, right? So there's some amazing stories at the moment of guys that have come through Gridiron Australia. There's a couple in particular down in Victoria that are going to come onto the scene in college football over the next few years. So starting earlier and earlier, I think traditionally it's come from other sports, but that's a huge focus of ours is, you know, it is a great opportunity to go to college. And I was speaking to Thomas Yasmin at Utah, who's a Sydney boy who had a lot to do with here when he was in Sydney and his family. He got an opportunity to go and play at Utah and, you know, played in the Rose Bowl in front of 90,000 people a few weeks ago was something that he never sort of even dreamed of. And, you know, every player that goes over there into that system seems to be excelling. And then also seems to be really enjoying it and really enjoying the benefits of it. I mean, how many sports can offer you the opportunity to have a $300,000 scholarship and then a possibility of getting drafted to the NFL? And you look at Jordan Bilardi's contract at $100 million US. That's a fair few salary caps back here if you're on one player, if you're looking at AFL or NRL. So it's a real dream for those guys to go over there. And you know, we're lucky. We're lucky that we feed into that system and our athletes really measure up really well. And part of what we will be doing is national combines, both for contact and flag, where we'll head around Australia and we will open it up to every athlete that wants to come and have a look and get tested on the official combine test, the same as they use the NFL combines and the college draft combines. So we'll do that around Australia and just, you know, really capture that interest in these players going over there. And then you've got the girls side of things, right? So the girls in the flag at the moment are getting, can get NAIA scholarships. to the US and the NCAA starting, I think it's starting this year, the flag football scholarships. And we all can see with the Pro Bowl week just how big flag's getting with Eli and Peyton having the AFC and NFC. Like, Pro Bowl week is flag this year, which is fantastic. And the head of the Mexican women's team is the assistant to one of the teams, and the head of the US women's flag team is the assistant coach to the NFC or AFC. I can't remember which one they've allocated to each. So, yeah, those pathways are getting bigger and bigger, and they're getting stronger and stronger. And you know, Gridiron Australia is a huge part of that.
And NFL Australia, like I said, as we were speaking offline before, I spoke with Charlotte Offutt a few weeks ago, and they're really starting to plant some seeds down here with especially flag football. Now, flag has been on, is it officially in the Olympics in, is it America?
So October 23, they make all the announcements for those sports, but, you know, all indications are that the NFL is placed, NFL flag is a real chance of being in those Olympics. And then obviously you got the Brisbane Olympics in 2032 after that. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge announcement, right? So I met with the guys at the Institute of Sport the other day, and we're just talking over what that exactly entails for our sport if we do become an Olympic sport. And Gridiron Australia will be, you know, we're the governing body in Australia, registered with IFAF, the International Football Association Federation. So we will be the ones sending those teams to the Olympics if it does come off. And what a fantastic opportunity to represent your country. And we think, you know, the athletes that we've got here, if you look at flag specifically as a sport, it's a combination of netball and Oztag. It's probably closer related to netball than anything else. I was up there for that awesome event on the Gold Coast at the end of November with the under-11s kids, where Varsity Lakes took out the championship and now go on to Pro Bowl week as an under-11-year-old. Yeah, it was amazing to represent Australia. And it was the girls. The girls really excelled at it. You know, their spatial awareness, when the ball gets spiked back, for those guys to find space, they're used to it. That's what they do, you know. And so if we can, we'll be looking at athletes across all sorts of sports and outside of sports we want to win that gold medal. You know, Australia wants to position itself. If we're in the Olympics, we want that gold medal. You know, our athletes can measure up against the Americans, the Mexicans, the traditionally strong, the guys that have really taken the flag football so far. We think we can beat them. You know, with the athletes we've got here in Australia, why can't we win those gold medals? So, in both the men's and the women's.
Well, and that'll be huge too. If it does get announced as an official Olympic sport, will that mean potentially a huge like funding injection for you guys as the governing body or through AIS, whatever it's through? If it's announced as an official Olympic sport, does that mean more money and therefore more potential for growth and those sorts of things in the future?
Yeah, massive. And the funding, to put it in really simple terms, if you're a chance of podium finishing, you get more money. So Swimming Australia,
yeah,
generally podium as well at the Olympics, so they get well funded. Hockey Australia has traditionally shown that they're a chance of winning the gold medal in the men's and women's. You know, the Western Australian government just spent $30 million on a high-performance centre exclusively for hockey play, Hockey Australia in Perth. So, yeah, so we've got to really position ourselves. So that's why we'll be looking for, you know, the best athletes in Australia to come and join our game, because the pathways are phenomenal, right? So if you can get, not only it's an Olympic pathway, it's also a pathway to US college scholarships, and inevitably, you know, you can see where it's going in America now. I think, anyway, in my opinion, that you can see that they're going to be professional leagues in America for flag. If Pro Bowl week is now flag, people are watching flag, people want to participate in flag, they can sell tickets for flag. That's what they do. They're going to create, someone's going to create, whether it's the NFL or someone else, they're going to be professional leagues of flag in the US. So if you can, you know, and the interesting thing about flag is whether you play, you know, in the primary school, which the NFL is doing in Australia a lot at the moment, whether you play in primary school or you play at the Olympics, it's 5v5. Mm. It's the same game. So it's phenomenal. And then also, you could go to the Olympics, you could go on scholarship to the US, and then inevitably there's going to be those professional pathways for you to go and play flag. It's a pretty attractive option for our best athletes in Australia. Yeah.
I like the idea that you said our under 11s are the ones who played the flag up on the Gold Coast. Is that right?
Yeah, so the NFL did a pilot tournament. So they did a, and I say pilot tournament, I mean the prize was unbelievable. So they had 10 schools trial the program last year, Northern New South Wales and Southern East, Southeast Queensland. Those 10 schools came together at Metricon Stadium mid-November last year. Todd Gurley came out from the Rams, which was great. Yeah. Obviously, Jesse Williams, who works with a lot with us at Good On Australia, you know, fantastic ambassador for our game here. They were all there. Benny Graham came up for it. So they played a tournament all day, and we helped them with a few aspects of that through Good On Australia with our referees and that sort of thing, and logistics side of things. They played a tournament, and it came down to the final play of the last game, which was Varsity Lakes School versus, I can't remember the other school's name, but under 11s. It was the last play of the game. They needed a touchdown to win it, and they got a touchdown last play of the game, which sent them to Pro Bowl week. So they go over there. I think they're leaving next week to have, like, what an amazing trip, right? So Pro Bowl week has a junior competition.
Incredible.
And they're going over to represent Australia. So a little primary school from the Gold Coast is heading over there to Pro Bowl week. Amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible. But I really like the thinking. Under 11s, you know, 2032 in Brisbane, that's 10 years away. We're going to have, they'll be 21. We'll be serious chance for some medals, by then.
They'll be starting to hit the pros.
Oh,
yeah.
they'll be primed. Well done. That's up here for thinking. That's good.
Yeah. A lot of forward planning.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, we think forward in the NFL. It's good. What actually brought you and like drew you to this role as a CEO? Because you were only announced in what, October, November?
Yeah, so mid November I started. So yeah, it's only been you know, a few months, if that. Look, I'm sport. I grew up playing all sorts of different sports. Like I said, I had a long connection with the game. I had a professional career. When I finished that, I was naturally just sort of evolutionized into coaching. And then when I got into coaching, both on amateur level and professional level, I realized, you know, there's a guy called Wayne Bennett, a famous rugby league coach, says, if you don't get your front office right, you're not going to be a chance on the field. And I really realized that if you didn't have the off-field stuff all sorted through the front office, then it was really challenging to get the on-field stuff right. So I started to get really interested in that. I'm also interested in the psychology of sport and what that brings. So I've got a master's in performance psychology. And so I started to morph more into that off-field role, particularly with some stuff in Sydney and the stuff in the UK and even in Spain. So when I came back to Australia last year, and I was looking around different sports and this role came up and I spoke to a few different people. I could always go back into rugby league or rugby union, but, you know, I'm so excited about it. I love the game. I love the NFL. I love the game itself. I didn't know about the opportunities for flag. And when, you know, I started talking to the guys about the opportunities of coming out for flag, I just thought, you know, this sport is just going to explode. And I want to be a part of that. And I think I can help and I can add some value with my experience and the other codes that I can transfer across to this and really make sure it soars.
Beautiful. Yeah. Might as well get into the grassroots and really see where it can take you. You mentioned when we chatted that there's some things in the pipelines that you want to kind of glaze across. So I'll let you speak about it, but we've got some exciting things coming up.
Yeah, we've got some really big things coming up, whether that's for the flag side of the sport or for the tackle side of the sport. And as I alluded to before, you know, we're really, really lucky in the fact that we've got some fantastic ambassadors, Australians in the sport. And you know, guys that come to mind are Adam Gotsis, the Jags, and even, you know, looking back through the history, guys like Paul Manera and some guys like that have sort of pioneered, maybe didn't make the NFL era, but they really grew the game over here in Australia. And one of those guys is just a phenomenal ambassador for us and the sport is Jesse Williams. Jess's story is pretty well known. Well, obviously in the NFL world, it's really well known. And but maybe not as well known as it should be here in Australia. And I think that's going to change a lot. It's already changing a lot, and you can just see. And Jess's story is just phenomenal. You know, he found the game as a teenager, and it probably saved him, you know, in his words, from going down different paths that weren't that attractive, didn't have great outcomes. And he fought his way through. He got an opportunity to go to JUCO, and then he fought his way through and landed at Alabama and spent 4 years under Coach Saban, where he just excelled. His work ethic was just phenomenal, and I'll get to that in a second. And Jess is then, you know, got picked up to go into the draft, and he sort of did this all on his own bat. You know, when the draft got announced, Jess was in the gym and he was training, and he said, yeah, the draft's nice, but I need to be ready for whatever comes next. And he got picked up by the Seahawks, and they won the Super Bowl in his first year there. So, you know, that's an amazing thing in itself. And then, you know, he got hit by a couple of big injuries with his knees, fought back from that. And then, you know, he got the diagnosis that he had cancer. And so he lost a kidney and, you know, a lot of other stuff he had to battle through. And he actually battled back and managed to play another 7 games after that before, you know, his body just couldn't handle that intense pressure that he put under. So he's come back, and he's really, you know, he's so passionate about the opportunity that he took, and he wants to make it an opportunity for a lot more kids in Australia, and he wants to make it more accessible for those. So we're working with him on some things to make that possible, that we're really excited about, which we'll be announcing it on Super Bowl day with an event here in Sydney, which is really exciting. And you know, that announcement is about getting people, getting Australian youth involved in the game, and showing them exactly what it is. And there's some brilliant things that are going to come from that, largely driven by Jess, and the opportunities that he can sort of introduce these kids into, and that he wants to go on that journey with them and mentor them as well. You know, he's just got, you know, a phenomenal presence, right? Huge guy, comes in, looks like you wouldn't want to run into him if he was angry. Then starts to talk. You know, he's articulate, he's intelligent, he's passionate, he's hugely charismatic, and he's hugely caring. You know, he's got a huge heart. And sometimes he expends that heart so much he exhausts himself, and he needs to keep that in check. But this is a real big passionate thing for him to give those kids in Australia an opportunity that he had and make it easier for them. You know, he's constantly mentoring these guys. You know, Frankie Tinalao, that's going over to Miami this year from Brisbane. You know, Jess is constantly mentoring him. As soon as I got involved, I knew Thomas Yasmin from my history with him here in Sydney, and I was speaking to Thomas, and I said, look, if you want to chat to Jess, he'd be more than willing, because he was umming and ahhing whether he was going to go back to college, stay in college, or go declare himself for the draft. And Jess just gave him a ring straight away and talked him through all the pros and cons in that, because he's lived it and he's done it and he knows what to do. And he's like, anecdotally, like, his work ethic is still phenomenal. Like, we went down to Melbourne just before Christmas just to meet the guys down there and do some stuff down there and catch up with the guys at Pro Kick Australia, who is good friends with Jesse. And he said, oh, look, we're going to go and train with the Pro Kick guys in the morning. And you know, I'm retired. I'm 40, you know, mid-40s. So I don't do a lot of training anymore. I said, yeah, okay, I'll come along. Yeah, that'll be good. We could go and meet Chapo and the boys and catch up with them. And he said, all right, I'll be outside your room at 4:30. But in my head I was thinking – He's obviously talking about the afternoon. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was talking about 4:30 in the morning. I didn't think it was going to happen, but yeah, 4:29, there was a knock on my door, and he's like, come on, what? And I said, okay, you're right, Owen. So we did that, and then we finished at like 11 o'clock at night with dinner with a few people in Melbourne. And he was still going 100%, and I was falling asleep at the table. I got two young kids, so. Sleep for me is very important. I don't get a lot of it. So, I thought I was going to have a nice night's sleep in Melbourne. I didn't. And then he said to me, are you going to train in the morning? And I said, oh, no, I think I'll let that one go through the keeper, mate. You go with your life. And
you can have that one.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, so it's a lot of exciting things coming. Huge excited to have Jess involved, and he's hugely excited to be involved as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to watching or being across that announcement. I know that it'll be probably posted here first on Any Given Sunday, so we appreciate that. That'll be great. I do have two probably quite selfish questions to finish with, but before we get there, I'll throw it out to the boys and see if they've got anything for you. And I do just want to thank you for coming on and spending some time with us. It's been great to have a chat, and I hope we can do this more in the future. I think the boys have been pretty generous with the banter. They give me a lot of shit, so I reckon they've eased off on you. So next time you come on, I reckon you'll be due for a bit more banter, but that's all right. We'll ease you into it. But, yeah, we really do appreciate you coming on and giving us some time. But I'll throw it to the boys if they've got any questions for you to finish off before I have my two very selfish questions.
We're trying to keep it professional, Macca. I don't want to step on your toes, Macca, with any potential questions you might have, but just thinking in terms of the future of NFL in Australia, Wade, like, do you ever see, with the NFL wanting to expand, is there ever a possibility of a professional NFL game getting played in Australia, do you think? Like, you know, how far down the road do you think that sort of is potentially?
I look at Cassie, everyone can see the huge interest in the game here, and for me, I don't think you open an office on the Gold Coast for no reason. You know, I think they see that the huge appetite for the game down here, so inevitably, like, you know, there's games in Europe at the moment and they're doing fantastically well over there. You know, that first game in Germany, so you would think that the games in Mexico is obviously a lot easier for us. There's, you know, the Major League Baseball came down here I think it was 2013. Through More Sports, they brought those guys down here to play the opening round. So it's been done before. And I think, you know, the NFL realises there's so much appetite for the game here. So I think, you know, it's only my opinion. I don't know. I'm not professing to know what their plans are, but it's inevitable.
Yeah, awesome. There's definitely the appetite for it.
Oh, yeah.
And do you think there would be complications, because of the length of the flight, of them, like a whole team and whole players coming over, and how that's going to work within their schedule?
I think if you take the Major League Baseball, they sort of did all the they sort of broke down barriers for that, right? I caught up with Jason Moore, who was More Sports, head of More Sports, and they're the ones that brought those guys down for that opener. It maybe it's, you know, they how they did it with the Major League Baseball was a standalone week as round one, and that, which gave them enough time to get back and recover. There were some hugely funny stories from Jason about that event and leading up to that event and the challenges that were posed to pull that event off, but they did it. And it was a resounding success. And all those teething problems that they went through is something that, you know, the NFL is definitely obviously going to learn off and make it a lot simpler for them next time. But, yeah, Jace, you know, having lunch with Jason, talked to him about it, and he was adamant that he would definitely do it again. Like, he had learned so much from that, and he couldn't see why that the NFL wouldn't want to come down here and do that. One of the challenges he proposed was the stadiums. Some stadiums are not equipped to, which I couldn't sort of work out, because of the height of the first row is too low. So he was thinking about the stadiums that could actually manage to configure themselves so that they were a bit higher on the first row. But, yeah, all logistics.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, it sounds like that at Super Bowl you're announcing that we've got a game down here, so that's beautiful. Good to hear. I like it.
Yeah, nice. Unfortunately, I don't have the control of the NFL, but, yeah, I'd love to.
I appreciate you, Karts, not standing on my toes, but you did absolutely crush them with that question. That was one of my questions. But I do have one final one. A little bit of research led me to, so in my own personal life, I always wanted to and possibly going down the path of becoming a helicopter pilot. Is this any truth to the rumours that you are one, and when can we meet up and go for a flight?
I am. I'm a PPL pilot, so I'm a private pilot. I did that in the UK when I was playing professionally over there, with a view to do it as my career when I finished. And there's certain things, flying for fun is brilliant. Flying commercially has its challenges. Incidentally, the other guy that's a trained pilot is Jesse's a trained pilot on R22s and R43s.
Yeah.
It's quite common for professional athletes to become part. I don't know why. Maybe it's a thrill, I think. too much time, yeah. Too much money to waste, and it gives you a good adrenaline rush, you know. And that's something that you're always looking for when you finish the game, because it's hard to replace. PPL pilot. Yeah, anytime you're in Sydney, we can go for a flight. I took my wife over the Harbour Bridge on New Year's Eve 1 year. We were talking about that the other day. Some pretty special flights. Jess, I was actually talking to Jess this morning about it, and he was telling me about how the height restrictions and the flying conditions restrictions in Seattle are hugely different to Australia. In Australia and in the UK, you've got to have a nighttime rating, whereas in the US, you don't, and there's no height restrictions. So he said he would just literally be flying through buildings with another pilot right next to buildings, where he could see on a long lens, he could see his reflection in the building windows. So it was a bit hairy, scary. They're a bit more liberal with their. I did get offered a job. I got offered two jobs. Well, actually, no, I got offered three jobs. I got offered a job to fly down in Nice, between Nice and Monte Carlo. They use them like taxis down there. I also got offered a job. A mate runs a safari thing in South Africa, in Kruger National Park. I got offered a job down there. And the other job I got offered was in Colombo. And I very quickly knock that one back.
I heard that pays well, though. That's
that's very well. Yeah, sure.
You might not be around to spend it. That's the only problem. I look forward to me, you, and Jesse hitting the airways together and taking off. It sounds like it'll be good fun.
Yeah, we might need a big airway.
Yeah, not for me. But beautiful, mate. That's all I've got for you. I don't have the boys have any more. But like I said, I really do appreciate your time, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the future. I'm confident that we can say that you're a friend of the show now, and we can speak more and catch up more as we go forward.
Okay. Oh, and one question for me before I leave.
Oh, here we go.
Olympics 2028. If we get the go ahead in October, what position are you going to try out for? It's an open age Australian team.
Is it? All right. I don't know if you can tell in the camera. I'm 5 foot nothing, so I don't think wide receiver or tight end would be me, but probably a running back or something, or that'd be me. Kart, you're a bit taller. Where would you go?
I could get into a receiver spot, maybe.
Yeah. You have had a dodgy knee, though, so I don't know how that would go.
I'll be fine by then.
And Danny, I don't know. I imagine you've kept up on our episodes, Wade, but Danny is extremely injury prone. So I don't know how we want him. He might be a coach or something, maybe.
Yeah, no, just put me in the QB spot. I'll be right. Just protect me. I need a good line.
Well, it's flag, so there's no tackles.
It should be fine.
Yeah.
Any openings you reckon that we should be taking on, Wade, or?
Well, if you get down to the combines, I reckon you give yourself a shot.
Yeah, there we go.
Sounds like we're all taking annuals at the same time. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Nice, beautiful. All right, Wade. Like I said, anytime you've got anything you need to announce, feel free to come on board, and we'll get right around you.
Cool. Thanks, boys. Appreciate it. I've got Chrome now too, so I'll be able to get on easy.
Yeah, that's it. You're up with the technology. That's good.
Thanks, boys.
All right. Thank you very much, mate.